Today I like to study about the saddest happening that ever has happened. I like to study about that today a bit. We can find that part of that happening in Ezekiel. I'm not even sure how to say that. Ezekiel probably. This is part of it. This is not all, but this is the start. Let's turn to this book and read. The topic for today is sinful. Last week's topic was about God and the goodness of God and how sure it is that there's only one God and there's no other else but God. And God is good. And today we are looking into something else. It talks about, we'll read that. Ezekiel 28, 14 and 15. Thou art anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so that was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. And then I like to go over and read in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. This is a question towards this perfect angel, Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highest heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's what God then says. This is changing, and this is something that eternity never had experienced before. And it is not that long ago. It's thinking about the good study we've been having here, creation versus evolution. Thinking about the millions and millions of years and all of that there, we've been having our minds spinning in those big numbers when we were talking about creation, but we have come to believe, and we are still believing, that creation is true. God created things, and the angels are created things. And in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the angels were created. I guess that part probably never studied when the angels were created, but that's okay. I believe that... this is not an old record. I don't believe that this is that old. I think around 6,000 years, 7,000 years, I don't know, in that area somewhere, that this happening happened, that there was iniquity found. And Ezekiel writes about that there was iniquity found, and Isaiah, he writes what was found. And we can find some of this in the New Testament also, which does bring it much closer to home. That's only a little bit ago, 2,000 years ago or less. There was something written in Matthew 25, verse 41. It talks about the dividing from the good and the bad, but I want to especially note the last part of the verse. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared. And this is what the part I wanted to bring out, prepared for the devil and his angels. So I'm just trying to bring this together, that it's not that far away. There was a happening 6,000 years ago, and then there was another writing here that really brings the very same thing out, saying that the devil and his angels, they will have their part. And I lost my thought there, sorry. And then we also have a scripture that says that Satan loves to transform himself. Now I'm not sure if I have my reference here. I think it is 1 Peter 5 verse 8, but I'm not sure if it's that one that I want to read. Let me see. Yeah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. No, it's not the one I wanted to read. But okay, I was just wanting to bring this reference to the table here where Satan loves to come as an angel of light, or he loves to transfigure himself and then appear. And now I'd like to go to Genesis 3, where this started to happen right amongst ourselves, right amongst our people. Genesis chapter 3. We could open up the mic if anybody like to share something here now, looking back to Lucifer and the angels happening, anything there. If anybody like to share something now, it'd be open. If not, we'll go into the fallen man. Could we share the reading a bit? Could you bring the mic here to Edward, and then you could read five verses and then pass the mic on, and then the next one could read five verses, and we will read up to verse 13.
Genesis 3:1-5,
and then pass it on to Abraham. He can read from 6-10 and then from 11-13.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said,
Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Okay, that's the first 15 verses in this chapter, and let's pause there and let's have a look what happened. Could anybody look at the first five verses and say, just reword it and say it in our own words, what went on, what happened? Anybody willing to try do that? Ivan, you be willing to try?
I don't know. I guess what I see in there is he just simply asked, so you really think there's a God? So you really think there's a God, there's a final authority? That's really what I see Adam and Eve being tempted with.
Okay. Anybody else like to share something to it?
I guess my understanding of Satan doesn't necessarily just come out of here, but it's he's called the father of lies, and you see him doing that, and he attacks God, which he always does. The first thing he always attacks is the goodness of God, which he did here as well. That God was withholding good from Adam and Eve by withholding this tree of knowledge of good and evil from them.
Okay, let's look into the verses 6 and from there on. This woman was looking at the tree there, and was seeing that the food was good, and it was looking good for her eye, and it made her desire of it, and also was she was told to be wise. And then they did eat, and they did both eat of it, and their eyes were open. What does that open mean there, that their eyes were open? God said they should surely die, and now when somebody dies, their eyes are closing rather than opening, and now they're opening when they are dying. What happened? What's going on?
Verse 5 says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I personally believe that the devil used truth there. It was true, and verse 7 confirms it. Their eyes were open, their spiritual eyes were open after eating of that fruit.
Were their eyes closed, spiritually closed before, if they're now open? Just to see if we could have a little understanding what was before the happening.
I think everything was pure before that, because they had no knowledge. They had no knowledge of evils, therefore everything was pure.
Could we relate to this thing here, what it says that, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Can we connect that to our lives, making aprons and all that? How would we make aprons? We don't wear aprons anymore regularly. They were trying to make some. What are aprons? Do humans still make aprons today? Because of sinfall. I mean, there's something that makes them feel ugly, and then they're starting to make aprons because they don't have clothes from God or whatever.
I guess I would see an apron as being something that we attempt to do good without God's cure for sin, without Jesus Christ, which is God's righteousness imputed to us. And an apron would be anything that we attempt to do to feel good or look good or even convince ourselves that we are good outside of the righteousness of God, which is found only in Christ.
Could anybody give an example that you recall? Yeah, that's right, I was doing an apron back then, or maybe you're making one now, I don't know, but whatever. Anyone that could bring out experience that you know that you were, that's all you were doing, making an apron that was out of fig leaves, doing it yourself? Okay, let's just leave it there. We've been thinking about it. Now, if we've been thinking about apron, yeah. And now if you would come to a place in your heart or mind, wherever, I'm walking here with my homemade apron, and God's voice was heard in the garden. It says verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife," and it goes on, explains how they felt. But could you imagine if you would really hear God's voice in the process of doing that? How would you respond? How would you feel? Do you have any feeling about that? Can you connect your heart to that feeling, what Adam Eve then did? Is there any feeling like running and hide if you would hear God's voice? Is there any lostness that you can feel in your own self that you can identify that, that's right, I'm still off of the same race here that Adam, Eve are too. I was saying the saddest happening that ever happened, and it started here, and then we're believing we're still in it, but are we able to identify ourselves as being in it? I believe all those that are born again and have the Spirit of God living in them, they have, but it doesn't matter to ask that question us daily. It's good and healthy for us to be reminded and to have an understanding who we are in Adam, and it's also very, very good to have that understanding who we are in Christ Jesus. But today we're looking at who are we in Adam. Who are we? Anybody like to add anything to that? If not, we go on. Ron would like to say something.
I was just thinking of, you asked the question about eyes open. Adam and Eve lived in reality with God. There's a time coming again where Jesus will close our eyes again. When we get to heaven, he said he's going to wipe away all our tears, and we'll go back out of this knowledge back into reality again, because this period of time will be gone. And there was another time in the Bible where Elijah's servant, when he seen the Syrians around the city, he panicked and he said, It's all done, Elijah. And then Elijah asked God to open his eyes, and then he saw the fiery horses of and the chariots of God around the city, right? So I think God can open our eyes in a lot of different ways. Their eyes were just open to their own, probably more to their dumb move than maybe all the consequences that it was coming to. But you asked about aprons. I think the apron I put on and take off is our own righteousness. We always struggle with that. There's a clothing that comes from God, God's righteousness on our lives. And there's the one that we try to put on ourselves. And every time we meet God, we see how foolish we are. And hopefully we always turn to God's better way then. But for myself, that's an easy thing to do, right? You read something in the Bible, you make an application, and sometimes you're just wrong.
Thank you. I like to keep on reading here. We read up to 15. And let's look at the verse 15. Well, God did give them a judgment, a punishment. Oh, it comes a little later. Sorry, I got that little switched around. But anyway, that's so good. God comes in the cool of the day, and he meets them, and he asks them, what happened? And they are just talking about it, what happened. And before God gives them the bad part of the story, you know what God did? And I will put enmity, well, he does say this. Oh, sorry, I'm getting a little confused. He first talks to the man, and then he comes and gives hope, and then he turns and talks to his wife. Okay, well, in the middle of the story. But let's just look at this thought. Just for example, around lunchtime, this happened that Adam and Eve did eat. I don't know, I'm not putting anything to it, like what time of the day, but I'm just saying 6 hours later, God comes around. And this is new in their hearts. This is making them feel very sick and very sad. And then only in 6 hours or so, God comes right to them from all eternity. He does not waste lots of time to comfort his people. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that's a promise of Jesus Christ to come and bruise sin. And just to think about that Jesus Christ and God and the Godhead up there wasn't really confused and stuttered and had a long way of wondering what's going to happen now because it's spoiled or it is damaged. Thinking about that, he created Adam and Eve to have a free will and they made a bad choice. Just to think about that God was right there from the beginning to give them hope. And they had to be reminded and given hope again like 4,000 years before the real hope came around. Just to think about that how quick was God to come and give them hope behind their sin. I mean, they sinned and right there God comes and gives them hope for what happened. I'm just saying that it's a wonderful thing that God does quickly come to our side. He's not lingering around, not sure what to do. Let's read from verse 22 through the end of the chapter, which is 24. Somebody ready to read that? Okay, Alvin could read 22 to 23.
And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Now, anybody like to share something about that?
I know I've said this one time before this morning, but if you read verse 5 again, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand, take also the tree of life, and eat, live forever. He put him out of the garden. Again, just pointing out that it wasn't the... it was God's character that was being attacked here from the very start. Because it was true. But he had said in verse 5, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God says, man has become as one of us, knowing good and evil. So it wasn't that it wasn't true, but it was God's character. It was his reasons for it. And taking him out of the garden. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. He sent him out of the garden, which was actually a tremendous act of mercy because God couldn't let them eat of the tree of life and live forever in their fallen state, I think, is why he did that. I'd be interested in hearing what other people think, because you could also read that as thinking that Jesus Christ is the tree of life. I'm not sure, but that's the way I've read that. Is that the reason he put them out of the garden is because they were living in a fallen state and he didn't want them to live that way forever.
Not sure if I have anything to add to that or not, but does anybody like to say something to that, what Ray was just saying? Okay. Let's close. I'm planning to have somebody else here for next Sunday, not because I'm sure that the study is finished, but we have plans for doing something else. I try to find somebody that would be here for next Sunday. I'm not sure how it would be going, but anyway. My further study will be going into, we're just kind of going through the history a little bit up to today, from starting God and then sinfall. And my desire would be that we could have a more fluent thought on who we are, that the thought would be more drilled into our heart, that we could just, without thinking, we know who we are, where we came from and what happened in our life, and like God was there and then sinful, and then yeah, there was this Mosaic law and some of those things there, and the deliverer was promised to more easily understand the beginning to the end by heart. That's what my desire would be, that we could get out of this. It's sometimes very good to drill on one verse, but to me, I was more wanting to bring the point across that we could have a quick overview, knowing what this is in our heart. Let's say if we would give a quick and short report, what is the Bible, that it could help us for that. That's why I like to have my goal for my study, but now let me see if I can get there. Thank you.